Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 688. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
That is a fake news question. I am not happy. I am angry because I haven't fucked a couch in 3 weeks.
Jesus. Just drive around the neighborhood for a little bit. You'll find one.
Like, find one laying on the corner.
I mean, not for the couch, but just throw my intro because I have never seen somebody show up such an give
like
me
a softball question. It's like, here, look human. Look. And he's like, no, I reject your humanity. God, why would you want that from me?
Earl is here. Can you explain? I think I missed this.
Okay, so J.D. Vance was at a presser yesterday, and they asked him, like, what makes him happy? And he couldn't give an answer, and he's like, they were like, what makes you smile? What makes you happy? Really, that was the question. It was not a gotcha. That was the question.
And that was his first response was, you know, that's a fake news question, totally, what are you trying to get out of me? I don't understand.
Just like, I like playing video games, or I like music, or I like
my
movies.
Family makes me happy, or my faith, or like something like that appeals to someone. But instead he went with, what a terrible, awful question. How dare you ask that of me? I'm not happy. I'm angry.
Yes. It's like, oh.
Who likes to enjoy things? That's fucked up. Jeff is here as well.
I like to enjoy things sometimes. Good.
My other favorite one was he was asked at a different one, should people want to get a drink with you? And he's like, I don't know, but I like beer. How are you this bad?
These are like, those are simple questions too. Yes, like, they're icebreakers. Like,
right. They're meant to like, you know, cool stuff between you and the people asking the questions and like settle down. He's like, no. Absolutely not. I can't do that.
Wow. I guess we'll stick with politics for a minute. Kamala Harris, she announced her VP pick, which is Tim Walz. Am I saying that correctly?
Yes.
We were all wrong.
And yes. Were we?
Yeah.
I think a lot of people thought Shapiro, right?
But then a bunch of stuff came out.
All that on this podcast. Everyone here excited.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think I was around for that.
I am the only person, though. I did, like, dude, a week before she picked it, I was like, I don't know, man. I think Walls. I didn't say it on this podcast, but I think she would.
He didn't say it for consumption by anyone. He said it in the shower. Like,
no, I said
it. Told the Walls about Walls. So great.
No, I said it
the
on
Walls
Twitter.
Don't have ears.
I said it on Twitter, but I did not. I was not saying I think that she would pick him. I said that I think he would be a really great choice. I said
I think I did actually see you tweet that.
I've been Team Walls. I mean,
I love the guy. I think he's.
But I also did not get
high. Like,
I also did not get into the beef steaks. I mean, one of the things that's just kind of insane about this whole thing, positive and negative, is like, it's been less than 3 weeks.
Yeah.
So, like, when you said that she announced Tim Walz, like, was that this week? It feels like forever ago, and that was already 2 days ago.
Yeah, it was 2 days ago that they made their, and like they campaigned hard in the last.
Yeah, that,
2 days
that's
too.
Part of it. Is like they've had like 4 or 5 press events, or you know, like rallies since Tuesday. So if I had, I'm like, oh, this feels forever ago. And it's like, no, you're right. It's 2 days ago.
Whereas Trump hasn't had an event in like over a week.
No, he had one today, which was insane.
Yeah, but like not a public one, right? Like he had press at Mar-a-Lago.
Yeah,
and it was batshit bananas.
He's lost his mind. He has. This broke him. Like, he was running when he ran his first campaign. He was running against the ghost of Obama, which was okay because he didn't actually have to directly confront a black person and see them in a position of authority. Now that there's one there, he does not know what to do.
He was so set on it being Biden again, too. Like,
yes, he's intent on it being Biden.
He hasn't been able to pivot from it. Like, he really can't. Like,
he's been begging for Biden to come back.
Literally,
he wrote a bizarre fantasy about how
fanfic about how Biden's gonna come back to the DNC and reclaim
his nomination.
Yeah, it's like everybody said, I know it's kind of old, but everybody's like, it feels like when Batman died in like that episode of Batman the Animated Series and Joker didn't know what to do with himself. Like, he had an arch nemesis, and now his arch nemesis, like, his arch nemesis is still around, but he's not running against him, and so much of it is him running against Biden that he doesn't know what to do with himself. And it's the funniest, saddest thing in the world if it wasn't so dangerous.
Oh yeah, that's the thing. Like, everybody still needs to be very vigilant.
He's such a Ben and such a like toxic person that I'm just like, I still to this day I'm amazed that like he ever got as far as he did. Like, it's just like, what the fuck was in the air in 2016? What is in the air now that he still has like 50% of the country behind him? Because it's just like, dude, this guy doesn't make sense. He's like super unpleasant. Like, what's the appeal here that he fucking hates the same people as you? I don't understand. Like,
I mean,
that's kind of it. There are a lot of very unpleasant people who live in this country,
I guess.
He is one of them. He represents them, and it's like they may suck, but there are a lot of them.
But he's like not, in my opinion, not good at it either. Like, it's just
no
mediocre. I don't know. Like, I don't know. Like, I'll never really get it.
2016, like, it was easier. I won't say easy. It was easier to convince people that Hillary was equally unpleasant.
Yes.
Like, and I think it's hard to do that with Kamala.
I think that's part of the problem. It's like, it was like, I mean, everybody talks about like him and whatever. It was decades of Hillary's, you know, baggage as the first lady. And, you know, even when she became senator of New York, like, everybody knew her political ambitions and stuff like that. And that was always used against her. So it's very easy to vilify her. You know, right or wrong, whatever that is, you know, we're not here to, but yes, people, it was easy to vilify her. And again, she still got more votes than he did by a decent margin.
Oh, yeah.
It's just the how the system works. So yes, at the end of the day, it does not matter. He won what was important. But yes, it's, and then Biden was,
well,
again,
it is
a very interesting.
It's important to say, like, this country is not ready for a woman. It's like, that's not true. Like, more people
voted. The majority voted for Hillary 8 years ago.
And people kind of don't like her. Like, she had years and decades of people. And I'll say this, I don't think she comes off great always, you know? But,
no, that's fair. Again, I think because
I'm just saying,
she was in the public eye, she was very shrewd and, again, very calculating.
Yeah, like she was an expert politician, and like in 2016, like, I mean, probably still now, half the people in this country like view that as out of a woman as like wrong. Like, they don't want that type of personality out of a woman. So because she was like very calculating in her career, and they just like, no, fuck that. Like,
we get back to the VP thing though.
Yeah.
So like my thinking was, and I think, you know, I said it on the podcast, like, no matter any way I played it, I'm like, you need Michigan or you need Pennsylvania so bad. I'm like, it's gonna be Shapiro. Yeah. It's gonna be Shapiro. Like,
yeah.
And but as the week or two went on, I kept seeing this Walz guy, and I'm like, this Walz guy is like, where the fuck is, like, where have they been hiding this guy? Because this guy is awesome. And I just thought there was no way. I thought at the end of the day that she would make the cold calculation of, I need Pennsylvania. So, like, no matter what, I know there's a lot of people on the internet that got hyped up about Walz too. I was like, man, I really do think Walz is a special political talent, and he could carry like the Midwest easily. But I just thought that she would just look at like how badly she needed Pennsylvania. Like, I never got my hopes up in the slightest that would be Walz. That seemed like such an underdog. It seemed like she would have picked like made Kelly first, even. Like, I was honestly shocked by the Walls pick. But I was also like, this guy's awesome. And he's been awesome so far since being the VP pick. Like, holy shit. Like, honestly, dude, I would love a ticket. That's how good I think the guy is.
I mean, well,
one of the reasons I think he picked him is that he does not have political ambitions to run for president. Is that according to him?
Visually, that's the vibe I get from him. Like, he is just happy doing what he's doing.
Yeah, and I think that, again, it's one of those things that, like, you can't, you know, like we were talking about with Vance, you can't train that, you can't teach that. You can't teach basic human empathy. You can't teach, to steal his word, joy. I've watched, I'm not going to watch all of them because at some point you can watch too much. But I watched first two or three events they had. And there was a thing yesterday where they were in Detroit. And one of the people, you know, like, it was hot. They were waiting outside. And one of the persons fainted. And he stopped the thing for like a whole 2 minutes to make sure she was attended to. They got water. They got taken care of. Making sure other people got water in the front. And it's one of those things where, I'm not saying that others wouldn't do something similar, but I know the guy at the top of the other ticket wouldn't.
Oh, absolutely not.
And he's so natural. He's so Midwest. Like, he is like a dude you would want to hang out with. Like, I don't know, man. Like, I was special to this guy. Like, I saw it coming, but I was like, I just didn't think she would pick him. I just thought she'd be like, okay, well, obviously I need to pick Shapiro. And Shapiro's very good at what he does, too.
Well,
but,
I think there were a couple of, like, scandal issues with Shapiro that just kind of, like, wiped him right off.
Yes, and there's also...
What?
I don't know, scandal-wise,
but, like you sent me that post from the Philly mayor... announcing him as the VP pick.
Yeah.
So I think the scandal thing for him was, I think there was the cover, or not necessarily cover up, of the sexual assault in his office.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there was that, and then Fetterman also kind of like was like he's shitty on criminal justice reform.
Who cares what Fetterman says?
Yes. But also, like, his complaints against him did seem valid.
I do think, and some of this is, like, reporting that I read and stuff, like, I did think he just really liked Walls. Like, she got good vibes. The guy is good vibes, dude.
Yeah.
And he'll kick you right in the fucking... The guy is so good. Like, I can't get over how good this guy is and how I'd not heard of him until like 2 weeks ago. Like, what the fuck?
I was going to say, I think the other thing, and the reason I wanted him so much, is that he coined weird, but he just has a way of talking brain speak that just resonates with people. Because it's that, and there was, a lot of stuff came out about him during the vetting process, and I'm sure stuff will continue to come out. But there was also, he was talking about how freedom's not like a pie. It's not, if somebody gets some, you can no longer have any. And I'm like, yes, it's very simple, plain English, but it's stuff that people, it's a way of putting in a, because it's if you're expanding and losing, and he just knows how to say something where it's like, okay, that makes a ton of sense. He knows how to speak to people. Again, he knows he's a guy. I mean, he's a teacher, but it's so weird that they're the same age, but very much gives off the vibe of, yes, I would see him in the library or whatever.
It's that teacher you loved, man. That's the teacher you loved when you're in high school. Like, everyone loved him. He was the cool fucking teacher. Like, that's him. Like,
and
I don't know.
I gotta give it to whoever is running, Harris's PR or social media stuff, because they've been killing it too. Like, they are on True Social trolling Trump
Yeah.
It's just like stuff that seems obvious, but it's like, oh, they're just going with it, and they're hitting them with, like, you know, the weird sound bites and the couch stuff, and
we're not used to have it on our side, and they're putting up a fight.
And Jake Tapper today was like, because he's an asshat, but he said something along the lines of like why are we attacking Vance on this couch thing? Like, it's crass and beneath us, and like, what happened to when they go low, we go high? It's like, that shit didn't work. Like, how about we meet them where they are and we punch back?
I think the whole happy warrior thing is like, and the other thing I love, I have to believe Walls is the one that like came up with this, is like, that's the vibe I got off Harris when she came out of the gates, was joy. Like, she was happy to be doing this. Like, let's be happy. Let's run a campaign and beat the fuck out of them, but do it with joy. And I think that wins every fucking time, or at least in most simulations, it'll win over like the doom and gloom and this country sucks. They need to start hitting him on how much like he talks shit about this country.
I mean, I think they do say that, but yes, I think one of the things that with the Harris campaign in particular is like, you know, like, again, Biden, I'm a fan, but like, so much of it, I got rid of like the soul of the country. Not that he was inaccurate, but it just wasn't resonating for people, because I think, again, it's such a nebulous concept for people that they, you know, what does that mean?
It's
like, we'll be fine. We survived Trump before. Again, not to say that's going to happen again, but it was very, like, we're there very much like, no, we are hope, we're freedom, we're joy, we're pleasantries. Then you got this other guy who can't answer what makes you smile, and this other guy ranting for 5 minutes because people aren't covering his crowd sizes.
Yeah.
And you kind of realize, like, he's kind of insane.
I think that also, I don't know that Biden's message was necessarily wrong, or it could be part of your message, because I think it's true what Biden was saying. I just don't think Biden was capable of delivering any message. Like, he wasn't good enough, no matter if you're trying to do what the campaign they're running. It's a lot of the same people running the campaign, so it's like, they're ready to go with someone who's game. It's just Biden was not game. Biden was never been super good at rhetoric, you know, like,
right. And he's even only when he could talk. He's gotten older.
Yeah.
Like, they need somebody to come out and sound lively, and he just can't anymore.
Yeah,
and I mean, again, it's sad, because, again, it's, you know,
I like the guy.
It catches up to us all, but like, even now, like, you see interviews of him, and it's very methodical, which isn't a bad thing, but it's like, this, like, every time I see him now, I'm just thinking of, like, oh man, this would be like 3 weeks, this would be a whole week of coverage. Because like he's doing an interview this weekend, and they presented the clip where they asked him, like, do you think like there's going to be a peaceful power transfer of power? And he's like, I'm worried if Trump wins, and then I'm worried if Trump loses. And of course, that would be a whole, did he misspeak? Does he want Trump to? That would be a whole news cycle. Part of it is the 24-hour news cycle is just terrible.
Yeah.
We should get rid of that. Especially, yes, but that's a whole different conversation. But yeah, I'm happy to have somebody who can articulate stuff, somebody who's energetic. And so far, I think they've both done a good job of being able to again, it's been like 2 days. They've both been able to just like turn around the narrative, because like the narrative is forming today, like, oh, Kamala hasn't like done any like press. She hasn't done any sit down interviews. So what does she do? She gets off of her plane. She does a little, you know, a scrum with the press outside of it, answers a few questions. She's energetic. She's personable. Some real snappy answers. You take away one of their, talking points, at least for the interim. She spoke to the press. Like, does she need to do a proper sit down interview? Sure. But again, I think people forget.
It's going to build,
I think that's something that they've been doing really well. And I think we've all kind of said it. It's like, they seem like they're listening to the criticisms, and then they're firing back at them. So like, And not just like, them, like the Democratic Party in general seems to be finally on top of it and know what the fuck's up.
It's also, dude, like we're like 2 weeks in and they're turning a ship on a dime. So like, yeah, she hasn't sat down for interviews yet, but like they're literally like, we need to get, you know, ass on the air. Who's our VP pick? You know what I mean? Like it's been like a fucking constant drumbeat of insanity for 2 weeks. So like, but the press is going to keep pressing until she actually does an interview.
Yeah, it's, but it's, I mean, the other thing is like, after all, it's been a whirlwind. Again, it's been less than 3 weeks. It's like we kind of like go right into the DNC in a week and a half or so. Like I assume
it's awesome that they are like dominating for like one third of what's left of this election cycle. That it's just like it's totally in their court.
It's kind of like too. You have to hurry. You can't hurry her along too much. Like, yes, they want the sit down interview, right? But I mean, first she needs to like
hire her campaign
staff, and she needs to pick a VP, and she needs to like come up with a strategy, and she needs to figure out what all her positions are on all of these issues. And
yeah,
okay, then she can have a sit down interview, and it's kind of like they wanted her to put like the cart before the horse. Well, she can't just do a sit down interview. That can't happen.
I'm with you 100%, Tony. You need to be prepared for this.
There's going to be questions.
And it needs, like, what is our winning strategy? And not just throw her out there to the wolves.
Yeah, that wouldn't make any sense. Like, yeah. You can't, you gotta hold it back until you're ready.
No,
and, like, maybe she doesn't do it until after the DNC. Like, maybe that kind of makes sense.
Fine by me. I don't care.
Yeah.
Again, I think part of it is I think the press wants a story. They always want a story. And it's one of the things I've said. I don't know if I said it. I always complain about, because so much of the press is always taking like, okay, this is what the right wing is saying. We're gonna start asking like these questions, and then that becomes a narrative.
Yeah,
not necessarily the fact that like, yes. They were saying like she's in a basement. I'm like, literally, she pulled up an Air Force 2 yesterday to a hangar.
They're saying that.
Yeah, that's what the
dude. Oh. You're fucking Trump is not campaigning currently, and like her and fucking Walls are like hitting two stops every day since. What are you talking about?
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's so weird to like, oh, but like, no, she hasn't specifically spoken to them. It's like, I get it. Like, there's a difference between speaking to somebody and, you know, speaking to people, but. Yeah, I do think she needs to do, you know, think she needs to do interviews. But again, I don't, you know, it's not like something like she's the vice president of the United States. So she also has a day job that's kind of important.
Maybe doing little things here and there.
There hasn't been time to give them what they're asking for yet.
Been 3 weeks, which is what I was going to say. It's been less than 3 weeks. She only became the nominee on Tuesday officially. Two.
This is also true.
She's also, it's a whirlwind of like getting out. Like the VP thing took up all of last week. And it's like, okay.
Yeah, there's no time to do fucking interviews yet. Like, literally, like they're doing the basics of setting up a campaign over months.
She also gets points with a lot of people for faffing the press around. People like to see those guys get slapped around.
You know what it is? It's very much kind of like the video game mentality. Oh, this game is out. What's next? And it's like, okay, we had the beep stakes. Is Biden going to drop out? That was the story. Okay, Biden dropped out. Is Kamala going to become the nominee or is it someone? Okay, everybody riding behind her. That was week one. Okay, so she's got enough delegates. Now, like, who's going to be her vice president? That's the narrative. Okay, that's over. We know it's Tim Walz. Now we need a new narrative. The positive for her and the positive for us is it drowns out a lot of Trump craziness when she's getting all of the oxygen.
Well, you eventually want the Trump craziness to come into focus.
Oh, no. And that, again, I think that's the thing. I think that's the beauty of it right now. It's like that press conference. I would say the press conference and his NABJ interview last week.
It was awful.
Both missteps. And I think part of it is him trying to reclaim some of that attention. And you're like, again, I think he was on cruise control because he was hiding Biden and he had a strategy. And now that he doesn't and he does not dominate the narrative, he's trying to force a narrative, which just means he goes on and he just says the most insane things.
Now, and I hope they poke him and poke him and poke him to get him to go nuts, like, and that people see it. Like, I hope that the debate goes well for us too. Like,
well, that's the thing with Harris even sitting down with press. Like, she needs to knock that out of the park.
Yeah, like, the press interview and the debate are like,
yep,
that's the ball game. It's the ball game. Like, and it's a lot of pressure to put on somebody. And yeah, she is talented. This is why I hate to say this, dude. I like Walls. I would be like, throw him out there, dude. He could do it. Like, that's how talented I think that guy is. Like, it kind of scares me how talented he is. I'm like, and it's not even just talent. It's just like he just naturally is a certain way that just appeals to people, I think. Like,
and I think the other thing, and it's a very minor thing in the grand scheme of things, but, you know, the difference between Walls and Vance, aside from vastly different personality, Walls has been in public service for almost 20 years. I think he joined Congress in like 2006. Then he became a teacher, and then he ran for Senate. I mean, well, governor.
I think he was a teacher prior, and his students talked him into running for office.
I thought
he was U.S. House of Representatives, Minnesota's first district rep. From January 3rd, 2007 through 19.
Okay, then when was he a teacher?
teaching career.
Maybe he was teaching when he was in the National Guard.
It was in the 90s, because my favorite story of the guy is how when he was the football coach in the 90s, he helped form the Gay Straight Alliance at his school. I was just like, that's awesome. Yeah.
He coached and taught throughout the 90s up until 2006.
Okay, so basically he left the military and the military and teaching at the same time to become, but what I was gonna say is that, like, Vance, as far as I know, has only ever run for the seat he has now, which is only been in a year and a half, 2 years.
Yes.
So it's also one of those things where, like, he doesn't have a ton of experience actually debating.
He doesn't have a ton of experience doing anything.
Yes, in general. But yes, it's going to be very fascinating to see. We kind of know how Trump debate style is. And again, so far, we'll see. I think Harris hasn't fallen into any traps in terms of, like, you know, like, taking the bait from him. Because again, I remember it was a debate with Biden, right? I think Biden was like, shut the hell up, man, or something like that. And of course, the press is like, oh, both sides are so aggressive and nasty to each other. It's like, what?
He's mostly just been ignoring him and, like, getting her message out there. Like, in fact, there was something today where they were like, did you hear about, you know, his complaints? And she was like, no, I've been busy campaigning.
Yeah.
So it's like she's treating him, and I think this is the best way to do it. One, because it drives him nuts. But it's like, treat him as if he's beneath you. Like, he's not your equal. He's just a crazy person that happens to be running for president. Treat him like, you know, underneath your shoe, and get your own message out there. And that shit drives him crazy, because he wants to be the center of all attention in the entire universe.
We gotta treat this guy like Freddy Krueger at some point, where, like, if you turn your back on him, he fucking turns to dust and he dies.
Yeah, which is how I think she's handling him right now. Like, kind of basically just ignoring him. She will confront him face to face, right? But, like, right now, just do your thing. Like,
make people happy. I go back to, like, what I said, I think, last week, where, like, we as a country have to be like, this shtick is old. It's 2016, like, on repeat. Like, are you sick of the reruns yet?
Yeah, you know? That's the thing I don't get. Like, I'm
not outraged, sick of it.
In my head, I just thought he didn't have a chance, because I'm like, I don't miss the days of waking up in the morning and being like, what nonsense.
You open Twitter and you're like, oh my God, are we going to war? Like,
right.
Yes. And it's like, yes, you know, Biden may be boring, But I take like my. I don't want to know what the president's doing every day.
I can't wait to stop thinking about this shit.
Except I think if he uses, he won in 2028 as well.
I mean, hopefully
he'll probably be dead by then.
Yes.
Yeah.
I just like hope. Hopefully, old age will just take care of the problem for us.
Yeah.
Oh my God! Could you imagine like him running at like 82 years old? Like he's already
technically the oldest person to run for office.
Yeah. Jesus. Oh yeah. So hope that's what I'm taking from this. I'm still.
I'm taking hope.
I'm still, you know, skeptical and wary, but.
Yep,
I have hope.
It's a wild thing that it could even be like a 50-50 thing, because it just shouldn't. Like, that's what kind of like broke me with politics is in 2020 when COVID happened and the election came down to like a few thousand votes. I'm like, how? Does anyone pay attention to what just happened to last year and how right. unserious they took it? Like, that was where I was just like, I guess nothing really matters.
Okay, but you have to remember there's split. Like 30% of the country is like people waiting for the world to end.
Yeah, like, you're right. That's part
like,
of it.
They're like, that's just we're on the verge of the apocalypse, and this could be part of it, and it's going to end any day now. I know it will.
They're not just waiting. Yeah. They're like praying for it. They're trying to actively make it happen.
That is true, but it's just depressing to me that like, dude, what happened in 2020? It should have been like Biden won all 50 states. Like, I'm sorry, it should have like. I don't care how polarized we are and how we're in our different media buckets. That shit was so like unserious response to a very serious thing. And for half the country to be like, nah, dude, this is cool. I'm like, all right, dude, I guess do whatever the fuck we want. Cause like nothing matters. But, I'm just hoping it matters just enough that we can beat him one more time.
Yeah. Let's get rid of him once and for all here. All right. Well, that's our politics.
Yeah, podcast. And we got politics podcast coming, bro.
Right.
The Pod Save games? America boys got to hire us.
God,
Is that worth listening to? I've never done that.
Pod Save America is great.
Well, off of politics, video games happened. Over it the did. Past week. And some news happened. Sony kind of confirmed the details of the Bungie restructuring plan. I did not watch the video. I'm not even sure if the video is out there. It was an internal video. But it does seem like any independence that Bungie had is being stripped away for the most part. All new projects outside of Marathon and Destiny are moving under the Sony umbrella. Previously, they would have been handled independently. It sounds like Parsons is somehow keeping his job.
There's probably like contractual things.
Yeah.
Or they're like trying to figure out how to parse all that and then get rid of him.
Could be that. I think he has to go. he's brutal. And his employees hate him. So that can't be good. But it's kind of a shame that, you know, they've now done like two rounds of layoffs. And Sony, I think correctly, is, you know, they're taking over what is there. I think some of it previous. To like yesterday, not yesterday, last week, some kind of talk had circulated though that Bungie oversold themselves to Sony.
I saw that, but I think that is your due diligence as if you're purchasing some
their
books and figure out, like, yes, everybody's gonna, yes, I'm good. I mean, who doesn't have a job interview?
right.
Yes, of like, course we're gonna do it. Three new games every year to you. We're amazing. Buy us.
If you're going to drop $3.75 billion on a company, you should maybe do your due diligence in making sure that they're not going to fuck you over. But
well, I think they're close to do. Like, again, it's not like it's not a public company. You kind of saw what they were doing.
Yeah. Which was had been a mess for a decade. like they did release Destiny and Destiny 2 in that time period, but you know, they also had to break ties with Activision because they weren't meeting the financial numbers there. They've been a mess for a while, and kind of wild that PlayStation bid on that. and it still wasn't enough for them. So that's what's going on there. It's kind of keeping towards the PlayStation side of things, though. You guys remember the Order 1886?
Mm-hmm.
I believe it was.
PS3 on Satellite or PS4?
Was that PS3? No. Yeah, I think it was. No, I can't remember.
It's PS4. It's PS4. PS4. PS3 okay. was PS3 was the crab game, massive damage, resistance. That's not resistance, but yes, okay.
Ready at Dawn was the studio that released the Order 1886, and somewhere along the line after the Order, which bombed, did not do well. They went and started making VR games, and they were picked up by Facebook, and they've been shut down. So another studio, which had a bunch of people in it, is now gone. This studio also did the two God of War games on the PSP, Chains of Olympus and Ghost of Sparta. So they made some good stuff in there. Just another studio lost to 2024.
Dun, dun, dun.
I guess in keeping with the layoffs and closures, this one's kind of crazy. We must have just missed this because I guess it happened on Friday last week, or maybe it was Monday this week. GameStop, right? GameStop. They shut down Game Informer.
In the most vile and evil way possible.
I mean, it's GameStop, so yeah.
But I mean, I think they just deleted the website.
It's completely gone.
And I think people were finding out when they announced it. And then I guess somebody had access to the Twitter account, so they made like a farewell post. So they just nuked the Twitter account.
Yep, they completely deleted the Twitter account. I guess they are. GameStop will be refunding you if you like recently subscribed, because that was one of the things, right? If you got your Pro Rewards or whatever it was, like you would get the subscription to Game Informer.
Yeah.
So I guess they're refunding that if you had recently subscribed or still had time left on it, they prorate a refund back. You do have to request it though. They're not going to do it automatically because why would they? Because
why? Why not?
Of course. Exactly. Of course.
That's got to be nuts though. It's like, you know, people probably did just sign up in the past week.
Absolutely, they did.
And they nuked it. More sad though, I think, is losing all those reviews, all those previews, and
that was my favorite site for like a list of games coming out in the year. I would always use their list because it was so exhaustive.
I never used their site, but I mean, it's really shitty. Like, don't get me wrong at all, but like the stuff's there in print. It's been in a print magazine all the way till now. So like people are like, oh, I lost all my work. It's like, I could see that, dude, if it was like gone, but like you could literally, I'm sure you have the fucking issues of the magazine. You can find your fucking work. Like,
well, so
I'm sorry to be that out on this, but it's like, dude, people have the magazines. It's out there. It is a physical media.
That stuff's right, Jeff. The physical piece of it is there. And like there's digital editions, I guess, that are out there floating somewhere. But the Game Informer website was also like they did daily stuff, kind of like IGN.
Yeah.
So like that list that Tony was talking about, they would update that like as new things came through. But all like the big features and stuff were printed, so yeah, that they're probably out there somewhere.
It's funny, I didn't know. I'll sometimes be like 2024 video games, and I'll Google it, and I'll get the Wikipedia list. That's what I always worked off of. I didn't know that there was a Game Informer one.
I think GameFAQs also does something similar, but the other, I mean, it's also where I used to put up the news for the podcast. I was gonna say the other thing is it was, and I don't know what I assume there's a workaround here. They had this month, because this is just the start of August. They had what, Dragon Age, the Veilguard?
Oh, yeah, the Veilguard. Yep,
was like the cover story for this month. It was about, you know, first campaign and everything. So I don't know what happens there. I assume EA, you know, market, you know, but that's like one of those things you kind of set up ahead of time and everything. So just like setting this up and putting all that time, I assume you threw people out for hands-on impressions and videos and interviews. It's like they need to recalibrate and everything. It's again really scummy. It does not seem like there's any heads up. I don't even know if it was financially tied. I assume because GameStop's been bleeding money, but it was just like, yeah, close up.
Like what value does GameStop bring at all anymore?
Yeah, I look forward to their demise.
It's got to be close.
I'm sorry for the people that work there, but like that's a company that deserves everything it has coming to it. Like for real,
it's not like an official GameStop Reddit. But there's like GameStop employees have like a Reddit of their own. It seems like everybody that works there fucking hates it.
I don't know what it's like now because it's a completely different store than when I worked there. But like when I worked there, it was like, dude, I've never had a worse job in my life. Like it was like extremely abusive. Like I'm not joking.
That doesn't seem like it has changed at all, Jeff. Like
yeah,
They are still kind of like manipulating their employees and abusing the, you know, their goodwill, their appeal, their like of video games and stuff. They just manipulate their employees and they're shitty.
Just fun little like Game Informer tidbit. When it, you know, it's part of their circle of life. That was like their philosophy or, you know, whatever, like their business model. And that's part of it was, you know, you inform people about the games that makes them excited about it. They want to come in, reserve it. And then we get them to subscribe to this thing that is informing them, you know, the circle of life.
Yeah.
While I was there is when they debuted the digital version of the magazine. And they would encourage us to like, of course, like no one higher up at the company was like saying this outright, but like you would get district managers and store managers to tell you, sign people up for it, but sign them up for the digital version because we save $7 across the year on that.
Oh, I remember getting so mad because they gave me the digital version.
Yes.
Even though
it wasn't a mistake, dude. It wasn't a mistake. Yeah, it wasn't a mistake. There were, and I was never an employee that could be like that. Like, I just couldn't do that. I didn't want to do it. Fuck them. You know what I mean? And so, like, I never did that shit. But it was like, they wanted you to, like, deceive people or not tell them. Like, you'd be like, oh, yeah, you get Game Informer magazine with it. And if they did not say the print version, you were supposed to fucking, and again, this was not an official company thing, but it was. You were supposed to sign them up for the digital without fucking telling them because it saved us $7 on a $15 subscription across the year. Fuck you, dude.
That's I mean, not the Game Informer piece, but something similar I see a lot on that Reddit page where, you know, now they sell the warranties on everything.
Yeah.
Like, you want a warranty on this game? Yeah, but now they'll use your points. They'll just utilize your points to buy the warranty.
Oh, you can use points to
add that on. And people are like coming back like, I did not want the warranty. I didn't want you to use my points either.
Sell a warranty on a Game Boy Advance game. What? Fuck you. I fucking, that company, man.
And I mean,
I'm sorry. Like, and it's really weird as someone who used to enjoy going there and enjoyed, you know, back when it was Funkoland and everything. Like, I always really loved that store. It's why I wanted to work there. And once I finally got to work there, I was like, oh, no. Oh, this is really bad. That I can't tell you guys how awful that was to work at that place.
What were you going to say, Earl?
What was I going to say? Oh, yes. I was going to say, and again, I don't know. I'm mostly a digital person these days. Games don't get scratched up that easy anymore, do they? Or
no, Blu-rays are very fucking durable.
Yeah. And it was the DVD
And a lot of it is still installed on your actual hardware. Like, you need the disc to read that, like, you own it.
Yep.
But I don't know how much of it is actually read off the disc. So, like, I don't know.
It's horseshit, dude.
Zero is read off the disc anymore. Like, because that's something that's been pretty standard for the last two gens. And even on the PS3, Blu-rays have terrible, like, read speed. So, these consoles all load all of that into, like, the local memory to pull off of it. They don't read the actual data. It's not like, you know, on the 360 or GameCube or any of that where it's reading the data off the disc and you hear it chugging.
Like, it pulls the data off the disc first, right? And then and then the disc is just a key after that. Like,
yep. And now it's like, now it really is just a key, because like, a lot of times if you buy like an Xbox game or a PlayStation game, like, you put it in and it's like, all right, well, we're downloading 83
now
gigs.
We're downloading the actual game. wait for it.
That's a whole different beast. But like, yes, if your disc gets scratched up a bit, you can kind of hope it reads. I've never gotten insurance for that stuff, but at least back in the days, I understood, like, you move your PlayStation wrong and like, it would scratch up the back of a disc or something like that. But yeah, nowadays,
yes, CDs and DVDs way more fragile than Blu-rays. I think most of these are now like dual or triple layer anyway. So
yeah, you'd have to like, I'm sure there's people that do. You'd have to work to scratch the stuff.
Maybe hold a lighter on it.
I can tell you, like, I would, like, people would bring in discs to sell to me, and I would look at it and be like, dude, what did you do to this thing? Did you, like, skateboard on this thing? Like, did you drag it across concrete? What the fuck is this? You expect me to buy this? And then GameStop would tell you, no, yeah, you gotta buy it no matter what. We could refurbish it. I'm like, you ain't refurbing this, dude. Like, it ain't happening. And, of course, we would get that all the time, too. I bought this disc, and it doesn't work. It's garbage. I'm like, yeah, because we have no fucking quality control on what's coming in. They just want as much fucking used product as possible.
I traded stuff into like an actual like local game store a year or so ago, and like, they were great. They took every game, like, loaded it in, made sure it loaded, and
oh, they actually put it in.
Yeah, they actually check everything. Like,
I can tell by looking at it. Like, dude, you probably look, our discs probably look like mine, like flawless.
Oh, yeah, they're really good.
I even, like, when I used to trade stuff in back in the day, I would have to be like, wow, dude, this looks like, did you even play this? I'm like, yeah, you just put it in the system and nothing happens. Like, what are you talking about?
like I'm not using it as a coaster.
I genuinely think people use their discs as a coaster.
You're short on coasters. Yeah, you got to pull out that disc.
It's wild, dude. I cannot believe how scratched up shit comes in. Like, I was like, what the fuck?
Using it as a frisbee for your dog, like.
I think it's kids. A lot of times, like, because they don't pay attention to that stuff.
I guess. I don't know. I mean, I guess this is all, like, irrelevant now. We're in a totally different digital era where kids play Roblox on a tablet, and that's kind of it. But
yes, it's also, I mean, it's awesome. I don't know what to tell them. They've been trying for almost a decade now to figure out their new business model, not working, and they're just shedding money.
Yeah. So, I don't know. We'll see how long they hang on. Can't be much longer.
Fingers crossed that it is, because I get sad when I go to Best Buy and I don't see their movies anymore. So, I mean,
that's another place. I used to love it, and I have a Best Buy. I just don't go to it because why am I? I used to go, I mean, one of those nerds, Earl. Like, back in the 90s, it was like the movies and the music section, you know? Like, that was it. That's what Best Buy was to me.
I was
there for appliances.
That's why I used to go to Circuit City all the time.
Oh, yeah. I always liked Best Buy more in Circuit City, but yeah.
Yeah, same thing. Now, it's like if I go into a Best Buy, it's for a very specific purpose. Like,
yeah,
like I'm not going to browse.
Yeah, so that's the thing. It's like I feel like you use a lot of foot traffic, and maybe that's where things are going. But yeah, I don't know that someone went to Best Buy because it's in the mall I go to sometimes, and I used to stop in to say, oh, what movies are out, or like let me see if they have any, you know, like, even if they have a good deal or something on a box set, like check it out. I'm like, oh, I don't need a new fridge, I don't need a TV. What do you offer me? Like, it's again, it's very specific. Like, oh. And even then, like, if I'm buying a TV, if I'm buying it, like, when I bought my mini fridge or whatever, that's research online. I already know what I want. Usually it's me just being like, that one, bring it to me.
Is it here? Still in stock? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, but Best Buy, Suncoast, FYE, like, they were stores that you would go into, and it's like, you would browse, and like, $20 later, you walk out with something.
And like, Best Buy was so good with their physical like movies. Like they sometimes had like special covers and steel boxes and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And like part of the thing is like I wouldn't go into a Best Buy to buy a game now anyways. The only thing I still buy physical is like a movie occasionally, and most of the times I'm fine with having the movie digital. Like Furiosa I might get on disc. For the most part, I'm fine with downloading it somewhere or, like, you know, buying it on Amazon, whatever.
Yeah.
But every once in a while, I want the best possible picture, blah, 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 and you get that from the disc. But for the most part, I'm at the point now where I'm just like, it's just so much more convenient to fucking press a button and watch something or play something that some of the magic of going to the store to go look around is gone. Like, even if you had that still, I don't know if I'm coming, you know?
Well, that's it for what I have for news. Earl, was there anything you saw this week? Well,
again, just real quick, you know, we had the new Zelda Echoes of Wisdom trailer this week. A bit, you know, this was a bit longer than the Nintendo Direct version. 5 minutes, they showed off the bind ability, which is essentially kind of like you being able to just, but you know, attach yourself to things, both offensively and kind of for movement. And of course you get a horse. I mean, it wouldn't be a Zelda game if you didn't get your, you know, your furry companion.
So you attach yourself to the horse?
Wait, you get a horse in the new game?
Did none of you watch this, Troya?
No.
Can you attach yourself to the couch? That's my question.
Well, I think you're gonna lay down on the couch. But like, yeah, no, you can like, so like this, like, I mean, there's different things you can do. So they showed one example where like there's a moving platform overhead, and then she Zelda attaches herself, and then this way you can move with the platform. But you can also do it where you can like essentially like the master hand in Tears of the Kingdom. So, like you can take like a giant rock and you can just kind of force push it, and it will move with her to kind of get it out of the way or use it to drop on enemies and stuff like that. So it's just kind of a different way to interact with the world where you're able to kind of grab onto things magically. It looks fun. I mean, I think even the first, you know, the copy ability would have been nifty, but yes, I you know, I was wondering why there was only one icon, one button for the copy ability, but now we know too. And I assume we'll have like one more trailer. The game's out in what, a month and a half?
Oh, is it in September? I thought it was October.
Yeah.
Neat.
Oh, it's at end of September.
Some 1 and 2 is getting a combined edition on consoles. I think they're.
I saw that.
I think it's out.
Yeah, no, I just saw it. Yeah. It does have a little extra content. And also, it's free on Game Pass, so.
Yeah.
What extra content, Jeff? Do you know?
Has besides like whatever minor tweaks or whatever, there's like new levels or whatever to play. So
oh, okay. They did something like that with one of the other Dooms where you could download. Romero made like three or four levels. No, not George Romero. the Doom guy.
Yeah. No, this is like it said there's a, like if you go on the micro, you know, in the store or whatever, it's like
yeah.
Like there's a trailer and it's like, you know, 4K 100 whatever frames per second, you know what I mean, like all that shit. And it's like, but like also a new chapter created by, and it's like, I think id Machine Games and someone else, like, just added more levels. And so I'm like, part of me is like, maybe I'll check it out. But I'm just like, I don't know, man. I've gone back to this bullshit so many times. Like,
well, that's the thing, right? I played Doom. Like, I played it when it came out. I played it again
many times on modern consoles too. Yep. Yeah,
I played it on 360 when they released it there, then I played it on the Xbox One, like
and it's not, but, you know, it's Doom, like it's cool. It's
I don't know, at some point I will probably want to replay it again, just I don't think it's right now.
Yeah. Yeah, but hey, it is free if you want to. I wonder if you can just like download it and play the new chapter type thing, maybe. But it's still gonna be Doom, like, you know what I mean, like very archaic, like first person shooter. Like, it's cool. I like those games a lot, but you know,
I would like to play. It's called Legacy of Rust. Is the new thing, and yeah, I think I would like to play that.
To see when they did, but
that might be neat.
It's not gonna feel modern though. It's gonna feel like Doom with new levels, like, probably. Right. You know,
yeah. Like there was no, like your gun doesn't have any. What is it? The XY axis up and
down. Yeah, you have no Y axis.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't point up and down. So it's like
which is like pretty basic.
Well, okay.
Yeah.
Anything else, Earl?
I thought this was out. I didn't realize it hadn't been a Vampire Survivor for PS4 and PS5.
Oh, I did not realize that hadn't been out either. It's old game.
Must have finally hit that 1 year exclusivity mark. And all right, here you go.
It was.
It was.
Yeah, Jeff got it on the Switch like almost a year ago, right?
I played very much on both systems.
Longer than a year. Yeah. Longer than a year ago, because it was our game of the year at the end of... It was one of our game of the years at the end of 2022. Yeah, it had just come out like December of that year or something like that.
So we played it in 2022 when it was our game of the year there. Came out on Switch in 2023, August. So yeah, a year ago it was on Switch, and then now it's on PlayStation. It's wild.
Well, good luck, Sony people. It's a fun game. Go play
it. Yeah, they should play it.
And then, truly amazing game, and it just had the Contra update a few weeks ago, months ago, I guess at this point now. Speaking of old games with new face paint, Castlevania chapter content, I think it's a Belmont. I mean, it's called the Belmont and Dracula coming to Dead by Daylight at the end of the month. I feel like I don't even play it as much anymore, but I feel like I'm the only person here who does play Dead by Daylight.
That might get me to try it again, and then I'll go, I don't really like this game. Maybe I'll give it a go when Dracula shows up. Can you play as a Belmont too? Like, or is it just Dracula is the monster?
It's usually a monster. They usually give you a monster and a playable hero. So I assume, let me just find out which one it is. I'm sure it's
Trevor Belmont. So he's the Castlevania 3, also the The Belmont that was in the Castlevania TV show, yeah. Which I'm rewatching right now. That's a really good,
very good show. Great music. Very minor. I think it was like 20 seconds teaser for The Last of Us season 2. Because HBO usually does like that montage of things are coming in the next 2 years when Game of Thrones is wrapping up because they need 2 years. So yeah, we got, you know, just a small snippet of that. Again, I haven't played part 2 enough to know. And I think really that's kind of it for news or anything of a note. I'm sure there's something I missed. Oh, and I guess this is a very minor thing, and this will be more news, I assume, at the end of the year. But I did the MPD dude, I always forget his name. The Switch is currently 1.1 million behind PlayStation 2 in North America, which I would assume makes it the highest selling console in North America. I think the DS will still slightly be ahead. I could be wrong in that regard, but I didn't realize it was that close, at least in the States. I think PlayStation itself still has like another, a lot more for the Switch to go.
Let's see. DS system sales. 154 million?
Well, that's overall.
Overall. In the U.S. Yeah, they don't have it. Oh, no, I think they do. 59.93.
And I don't know what I don't know what a PS2 is.
That's cool though.
Yeah,
it's definitely really
a little fun. Just a little fun fact.
All right. Well, that's it for news. What have you guys played this past week, Jeff?
Or
you
tried going home? Okay.
Or tried. Jeff, did you play anything?
I finished Dungeons of Hinterberg.
So did I.
And
I tried that game.
Okay, well, here we go. We got Hinterberg Fest.
Tony tried it. I don't know if he kept going with it. You did like the first two dungeons.
I did the first two dungeons.
Petted the dog.
And I petted the dog. It was like, it's fine. I can see why Jeff likes it. It's a very, very Jeff game. It reminded me a lot of, God, why is my brain not working? Marvel's Midnight Suns, but the Jeff version of that. It was like the very, very similar, like, let's walk around and talk to people and then do our daily thing, like our daily play of this game. And then after that, you know, let's have an evening hangout thing. Like the actual gameplay loop is identical, except instead of having what I found was a really fun tactical strategic card game, you're having
a Zelda dungeon,
which, you know, is more appealing to Jeff than it is to me. So like, I kind of get why you like it. I would not like it as much because I just don't find that kind of gameplay as appealing. But I mean, there should be more games like that. I kind of like the idea of the whole way it's built.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think like if you like Zelda games, like, this is kind of a must play. Like, you kind of gotta check it out.
But it's like light Zelda though. It's not like
it is not. Yeah. It is doing.
It is and it isn't. Like, I think as you progress in, like, the dungeons start getting longer and longer.
There are dungeons that are like, I'm like, I spend like an hour in them. You know what I mean?
And there's one I talked about last week where it was like, to even open the dungeon, you had to do like a quest outside in the area.
The lights.
Yeah. Which is neat. Like, there's some neat puzzles out there. But yeah, it's more bite-sized because you can, as you said, Tony, like, you know, you have your gameplay piece and then you play that and then you have this other thing. So it's very segmented. Whereas, you know, Zelda is not necessarily that segmented.
And Zelda, the unfortunate thing is when you have the Midnight Suns comparison, like, that's a AAA game. It has AAA budget. So, like, for that game, it's like everything is fully voiced. Like, the cutscenes are all really cool, and this, it's nothing is voiced, and but again, that's like, that's budgetary stuff. That's not like this game.
Yeah.
I came to agree with Jeff on, like, that was one of my complaints early. Tony was like,
yeah,
kind of wish this was voiced. Like,
it works characterization. It works so much better for me as a book that I'm reading. Like, so much better.
Yeah, and the way they present it is like, is what we talked about last week, is it's only like, you know, a couple minutes at a time,
yeah,
of the story. So I kind of liked how they ended up presenting it that way. I think voice acting would be neat, but
not it would to me. I would zone out. I would just be like, I don't care. I hit skip. I don't know why. The fact of forcing me to interact with it by reading it made me absorb it, and then like, it's not like a super story heavy game. Like, there's a story going on, but a lot of times you're just talking about like things that like are normal and relatable, like that people go through. Like, my job sucks. And by the end of the game, like, I don't know about you, Chris, like, I really felt bittersweet about leaving the world. Like, they let you say goodbye to everybody, you know? It's like, this sucks.
Yeah,
like,
that was neat.
It's the end of vacation. It's like the end of vacation. You're like, everyone you met, you know you're never going to see these people again. It's a bummer. It's
like, well, all the people you kind of, like, built relationships with, because I didn't build relationships with everybody. So, mm-hmm. like, there were people that didn't show up.
Yeah, no,
at the train. Same. And, like, I thought that was neat because, like,
the people I'd you made friends, time, connections with, yeah.
Yeah, I'd spent time with these people. And so they came to say goodbye. And that was pretty cool. Like, oh, yeah, like, you know, I spent a lot of time with this person. And you know, with the ice cream girl, she showed up. And
oh, she did? She wasn't one of I. That's cool.
Yeah, so it was neat that, like, these people that I'd spent time with. Because I spent time with everybody, like, I did enough to get their, you know, the first tier of them all, but, like, the ones that showed up, like, you needed to spend a little bit more time with all of them, and that was cool. Dude, but yeah, so you leave.
Kind of spoilery, I guess, but at the end of the game, your vacation's over and you're leaving, right? And
yes,
you get on a train to leave, and, like, you could get, you know, all these people, anyone that you've developed a good relationship with will meet you at the station. But you just get on the train. Like, 90% of other games, I'd be like, I beat the game, I'm getting on a train, see ya. Don't care what you have to say. I went and talked to everybody because I was like, I had a connection with all these people. Like, I really liked all of them. Like, that's rare for me. So, like, I don't know, man. Like, and I was, like, bummed. I was like, man, I'm not going to see these people again. And then I also was like, man, I hope we get a sequel. Like, I would love to do this again. Like, it was very much like going on a vacation for me, which is what the game is about.
So I did like that about that it.
Yeah.
Is that at the end, they kind of opened it up that they're, you know, like, you talk to one of the, like, a, you know, you talk to a bunch of people, but like one of them's like, oh, I might go to Vienna next, or
yeah,
they mentioned somewhere in Italy, and it's like, oh, okay, so there's like other magic holes.
They're hoping to do a sequel to this. Oh, I hope they get to
that. That'll be cool. I think they did a pretty good job here, like, especially some of the later 7, 8, 9 dungeons.
They're insane.
they're pretty cool,
and I had troubles at times. Like, did you have trouble with any of the big bosses or anything? Because I know I did, actually.
Yeah, there was one in the, it was like at the top of a tree or something, and
the butterfly.
Yeah, because I couldn't. Yeah. I kept losing like my magic.
Yep.
Yep. Like, so then, like, I'm like running around trying to stay alive, but they're dropping like the butterfly is like shooting missiles out at me, basically, and I'm getting swarmed by enemies. Like, that one was tough.
So, but like, you touched on what made it really tough is because you had to shoot the wings off the butterfly, and in order to do so, you need magic.
Yes.
And so, like, you would drain your magic shooting off one wing of the butterfly, and in order to, like, build your magic back up, you have to fight, like, minions. And so it was this endless, awful cycle. And sometimes you would mess up and miss or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, took too long aiming. You're like, fuck.
Yep.
And so, or, like, or you, because you had to, like, use a tornado to get up on top of this thing. then, you know, trigger it, then go down to, like, grab with them. Like, oh, you don't have enough magic. Like, oh, what the fuck? Like, you used all your magic on the tornado. Like, but, yeah, I did the level 9 ones and came back to that one because that one pissed me off so much, dude. Yeah,
that one was tough.
Yeah, I loved the game. I like loved it. I have like no real big complaints. The only thing is what I said last week is, which is like the bad arenas gets a little lame after a while, and
yeah,
you know, I don't. I do love that it was RPG based, like where it's just like stat based, like getting better swords,
and you could build it up by like you could buy like different special moves or find.
But it was really like chest. It's really like other than those big bosses, it's like two or three different enemy types over and over and over. Yeah, and so like if they do get to do a sequel, I would like to see them first off turn off the little circular zone thing. I don't know about you.
I would prefer like at towards the end I didn't need to get any more monster parts. I didn't really need to
let me decide whether I'm fighting or
not. And you're not getting experience from fighting them, right? Like, so it's like, you know, I would prefer just to run by them. Like, have them chase me for a little bit, like, you know, like in most games. But if I get far enough away, they'll leave me alone. But, you know, you step into one of those areas where there's monsters, and it's like, oh, I guess I'm stuck here.
You're in an arena. Kill everything in here. And, like, again, I thought the combat actually feels pretty good. And I do like that, like, there are so many ways to level it up. Like, there was actually kind of a lot of RPG elements with the charms and the attack conduits and all that. Like, you know what I mean? Like, like, just completing a dungeon gives you plus 5 HP. Like, that's what I love. It's like Zelda mixed with more hardcore RPG elements a little bit. And mixed with, like, this kind of social sim and story aspect that I was into. I was so into it.
Like, the social sim also adds RPG elements.
RPG
to it.
Elements, so
like,
Do
you want to spend time with this person? Because like you'll up your familiarity or your friendship with them, and if you can level up your friendship with that person, you'll unlock the next tier of skill or you know, whatever they have on offer for being a friend.
If I hang out with this person tonight, I am able to whatever. I get half off on stores or you know.
Yeah, you want to like hang out with the guy Julian, and actually like if I were to play it again, I would hang out with him way earlier because you hang out with him a couple times and you max out your friendship with him and everything in his gear store is free. So,
okay.
Like completely free. Not that money is a real problem. Like I had tons of money, but like early on, it's like, do I want to spend 50,000 Pinter bucks on this sword, or do I want to like upgrade my armor so that I can, you know, go to the next tier of level? Towards the end, like it didn't really matter, but you're finding gear. And
how did you feel about the story overall?
I liked it. It was neat. Like, you know, this corrupt politician.
Yeah.
Kind of like she was, but also she's like trying to do it to give Hinterberg a reason for kind of like existing and bringing, you know, capital in and giving it some financial safety. So I thought that was like, there's a neat story there. And then all the little characters throughout the town that you meet are all neat too.
I loved not just the story, but the tone and like the, you know, it's not just story elements. It's like when you talk to people, like the things that they would talk about, I thought was really like, even if it's not invested in the story, I loved it.
There's some really cool like individual stories.
Yeah,
with just, or some just of the like, characters.
Yeah.
Like the ice cream girl I was telling you about that she showed up at the train station for me. I'm like, if you like start hanging out with her at the ice cream shop, eventually like you see that her boss there is like abusive and she ends up getting fired from that job, but like because you're friends with her, like she'll get another job working at the hotel where you're staying. Which gives you a perk of like she can then make you breakfast in the morning, which will give you a bonus to either like health or stamina or like, so it's,
that's cool.
Like, you want to like hang out with people because there's like cool things that come from it.
Yeah. Also just like the, without spoiling it, I thought that the ending was kind of pitch perfect. Like it was kind of not overdoing any of the story elements, but it was just like, hey, there's real magic in this world and we should appreciate it. Like, I don't know. Like, there's just something about the whole game that was just like, man, like these people like really like nailed a certain vibe here that I am 1000% with. Like, I really loved it. And the game, again, it's like, dude, imagine getting like, I've never had a Zelda game with like 25 dungeons. And like, again, yeah, you could say, oh, the like Breath of the Wild had 100 and whatever the fuck shrines, but those don't count. Like, these were bigger than the shrines. Like, these were like usually like a good 20 minutes, you know?
Yeah, like outside of maybe like the first
There's a few that you just, you're in and out.
Like, but I think that's like it's tutorializing, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like we're showing you how to kind of maneuver in here. Like the first couple dungeons in each of the new areas are, you know, they're teaching you how to use the powers of that area. And there's, I think each of the different zones has they have like one dungeon, which isn't really a dungeon. It's just like a boss fight.
Yeah.
Like you go in and there's a big arena and you're going to fight the boss, or have to, you know, I think the snowboard one, like you're chasing after it or something, to then fight in a different arena to whittle away a little bit, but it's all neat. I think it all works really well.
Big recommend, man. Like, I don't know. Earl, have you not played this yet? Cause you should definitely play it. If you're Zelda.
I have not played it yet.
The fuck, it's free, bro.
I think it's definitely worth a go since you do like Zelda. So
yes, but time is not free. I've been gone the last 2 weekends.
Yes, and it is. Thankfully, it's like I think I did almost everything in the game except for I think I was missing like 3 of the coins, which are like
coins, man. I felt like I found them all, and they said I was only like 60% with them. Like, what? I thought I got them on every level.
I think I ended up 23 of the 22 or 23 of the 25.
Oh, brutal.
And I think I did everything Earl in under 20 hours. So it's relatively short, comparatively speaking.
I guess, but it did feel meaty to me by the end. I'm like, you know what? Yeah, this was not like a weekend game. Took me a couple of weeks.
Yeah. No, and that's not what I meant by that. Like, I think it's the perfect length for it.
It really is.
There's substance to it. Like,
yeah, it's not a game that, like, you could pick up and beat in a session or something. Like,
you're
playing it. Yeah,
and I think it, you know, because of the way the story is doled out, the way it's segmented, as Tony said, like where you're doing things daily.
I love the daily thing too.
Yeah. It lends itself to just like coming in, playing a dungeon, doing a day, and moving on.
Yeah.
So it works that way.
I had big breaks from it than playing like Dark Souls. And I would come back to it and I'm like, all right, what was I doing? And like, it was very easy to readjust back into it. And the game is just really good.
We'll say jumping between the different zones because you have different magic. Like, you get used to like having like the ice thing coming out of your hand or something, and then you go into another zone and you're like, why isn't it doing it? Oh, I don't have that anymore. That sucks.
Yeah. I almost feel like there's room for them to do a sequel where it's not like that.
Where you could pick
I mean,
your magic.
Ultimately, Zelda games are kind of like that even when they're not. You know what I mean? Like, it's like,
yeah,
this dungeon uses the hookshot. There's room for them to do that, and then there's room for them, I think, to improve the combat encounters. Like, there's definitely room for the series to grow. I would really, really love to see a sequel. I hope they get to do it. But if not, like, I think that as a one-off, really, really, like...
Neat little special game.
Yeah, special game. Special game.
You play anything else?
Other than Dark Souls games, which you guys have heard enough about? No, not really.
Earl, you were away.
Yes, but I did want to talk about a few things. I think I mentioned this before, but they have been expanded. I went up to Rochester, New York this weekend, and that is the home of the Strong National Museum of Play, the Strong Museum, the Museum of Play, whatever you want to call it. And I forget how much I've talked about before, but it's a toy museum, essentially. It's a lot of, like, you know, classic toys and board games and different wings. There's also now a mini golf course. Great stuff. I really recommend it. But for the sake of this podcast, I'm sure none of you care about all of that, is it's also the home of the current Video Game Hall of Fame. Almost the entirety of the second level is dedicated to video games. I think I posted a video on Twitter about this. There is a wall of consoles that goes back from the Atari up until, it's in order, so the most recent console, I believe, is the PlayStation, no, the Xbox, I think, came out after the PlayStation 4, 5. I've got a couple of days, but yeah, so it's in order of
that.
They have, you know, it's part Dave and Buster's, so there's, like, you know, there's a room with just a ton of arcade machines. They had, like, NBA Jam, they had the original Ninja Turtles, some other game. Pac-Man was there, and then they have, like, a bigger room. They had, like, Guitar Hero, they had Hero Raven Fight, I forget what the name of that is.
Fire Team Raven.
Yes, let's go with that. Which is one of those, you sit down and you have a gun and you shoot, and it's a ton of fun. My friends are making fun of me because I enjoy those games. I tend to enjoy a lot of, you know, they had the Terminator, a lot of those gun shooters.
Yeah.
So they had the machine for four, but a lot of kids was doing it. So, like, it was hard. So, like, at some point, the seat got opened up. So I'm like, I'm just going to take it and play for a bit. And they were just like, I have a bit better aim than, like, a bunch of 8 or 10 year olds. So, it's co-op. I'm not killing the kids, but, like, the kill count was very lopsided towards one side, and that was not the kids. I don't think I posted a picture of this. They have, you know, like, across from the Hall of Consoles. Again, there's a lot of different, like, there's consoles, and then you go and it's like, there's consoles, there's space, there's memorabilia from the era. But across from the wall of consoles, there's also just like is this NES, a PlayStation 2, and something else. And for some reason, the NES has, like, a giant controller. And I don't mean like an over-the-arch controller. I mean a giant controller. Literally, like, in order to, like, press B and A, I had to, like, do, like, a crawl across, search up with my hand. And my fingers can actually get both of them, and then, like, my other hand's all on the D-pad because they had, like, Mario Brothers, and it was, like, it's really goofy. It was fun to try out, just trying to say, like, oh, I have to hold down B and press A to, like, you know, run and jump. So, like, that's kind of, like, the arcade area, go through a history, and then, like I said, they have the Hall of Fame where you go in. They induct games every year. I think the most recent game, what was it? I know Barbie was inducted recently. Oh, I think the most recent game was Microsoft Solitaire, which, I mean, Hall of Fame game. that got us through a lot of school. but yeah, so, like, you know, and then you go into that room and it's like, again, I don't think I posted this video. You go in and there's, like, these giant screens overhead where it's, yeah, it's like a circular, kind of like a sports stadium where it has like a circular thing, and then like each screen is attached to a console on the opposite side. And then it's like one screen was Street Fighter 2, one was Super Mario Brothers, one was Sonic, and I forget what the fourth one was, like stuff like that. And then you go around and there's like little packs with like, you know, the histories and information on these games and stuff like that. That was really nifty. And then their newest addition is an interactive hall where you can go in and they have, again, a bunch of different games, both physical. They had one where it's essentially kind of like handball. You're throwing like colored balls against the wall. And the balls colors because that's how you know who's scoring what points. And it's kind of like, you know, so you're breaking bricks, you're trying to hit targets. That was really, you know, again, I didn't, because that was one where kids had no sense of lineup. So, like, I would say, and a bunch of kids would, I mean, I'm not going to throw a ball at a bunch of kids. And again, they're not trying to hit people, but like, they would go up to the wall and just like stand in front of it. There was one which is like in trackball, where you're just like, it's like a exercise ball and like a like rolling machine, and you have to move it to move a bullet on the screen. There was one that I thought was a really interesting experiment. It's a versus game where you're just trying to navigate like a Doom-esque maze. But each station has a different, like, so I didn't realize this when I started. I had a trackpad. One person had like an analog stick. One person had like an arcade stick. One person had like a, like, you know, directional pad or D-pad or whatnot, but like, and it's like, oh, it's a very fun way to see like how the different controllers work and stuff like that. A couple of rhythm games. There was one that we played called Beat the Boss, which is just like, you know, it's like tap. It's like three buttons. You can either tap, some of them you would hold, and it's just like getting the rhythm down. And each of, you know, like if you do it well, if you combo well, you do damage to the boss. It's a co-op game, but, you know, at the end of it, they scored you and everything. Did super well. Aces. So, yes, again, if you're ever in Rochester, highly recommend it. It's a great time. It's really nice. I think, and again, I think it's the only thing that really celebrates video games in that way. I think that they celebrate a host of video games. It's not just like, oh, this is really hot, popular right now. This is really hot. It's like, no, it's all types of video games. It's a great I mean, even the toys stuff is great as well. It's a hell of a trip. And in addition to that now, because we went to the museum, right across the street, I don't know when it opened. It's relatively new. I go to Rochester. I used to go every year. I haven't been in like 2 years. But across from the museum, they opened up a restaurant. I'm not associated with the museum, I think, called Nerdvana. And this is a video game themed, like, actual sit-down restaurant. So yeah, you go in, and each booth or station has a console set up. So, like, they, you know, we went in, like, they didn't have any PlayStations available, so they asked if we wanted to sit in an Xbox session or a Switch session. You know, I said Xbox, but my friends, like, you know, we ended up sitting in a Switch section. You sit down, they give you controllers that are synced to the TV screen. They wipe it off before you get it. And then the system is actual consoles. It's like the Switch had, you know, like maybe 24 games, Mario Kart, Smash Brothers, Gang Beasts, Fortnite, whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's all free. The only thing they ask is that you spend at least $15 on food and drinks per person. We were there for dinner. So, you know, but then you go, and then the food menu is a video game theme. Like, it's normal food, but it's like themed after video games.
Okay.
So, like,
what'd you end up eating?
So, I ended up eating a Salmon de Cuba, which is, of course, just a Cuban sandwich. My friend got the, what did he get? It's a BDK, which is a burger development kit, which is just, I mean, basically you just make, you know, it's a burger, but like, yeah, you pick the toppings and stuff like that. You know, stuff like that. So like entrees are called power ups. Drinks are called potions. Non-alcoholic drinks are called zero. zero potency potions. And then like all your, and then like cheats are the sweets and desserts. So like Seventh Devil Banana Pudding, Tiny Tina's Brownie Rampage, Hidden Gem Cheesecake. And then their cocktails are also themed after video games and stuff like that. Like I had a, let me see, like a Black Flag, which was like wild berries and bananas with coconut rum and spice rum. And it's served in a kind of like a pirate, you know, like the glass bottles, and then you get a glass to pour it into. My other friend got a, is it Tart of Darkness? And then there's a Mad Moxie. There's, you know, Fet Dreams of Boba. So, yeah, I again, big nerd. I have when I, if you're being thematic, be thematic. We were there for like 2 hours. Again, they didn't, they, you know, they came over, food, drink, whatever, but they just leave you there with the controllers. We played, you know, we played a couple of rounds of Mario Kart. We played Gang Beasts, which oddly enough, I don't think I've ever really played. That game is really fun and chaotic and crazy. But you know, we're men of a certain age. We're almost all 40. So we're just kind of calm and relaxing and enjoying ourselves. We heard another table going insane. Like, what the hell are they playing? So at one point I got up and I'm just like, I'm going to go to the restroom. I'm just going to like sneak over and see what they're playing. And they're playing Gang Beasts. And I was like, oh man, these people are having the time of their life. I think they want to kill each other, but they're having the time of their life. Like, it's a really great game. It's a really fun experience. So like, yes, it was a fantastic Saturday. I think the Strong Museum of Play and Nirvana, awesome combo. I know not a lot of people go to Rochester. I know a lot of people don't want to go to Rochester. But if you're ever in the area, if you ever want to kind of see something that kind of pays a ton of respect to video game, that's a great 1-2 combo.
Neat. All right. Tony, you play anything this past week?
Well, I tried to play Fallout London. That was an experience. So
no more luck than last time.
Oh, I don't think I talked about it last time, did I?
You said it ended up just crashing.
So I went. I think what last time we just talked about. I tried it this past weekend, so I don't think we'd gotten to it in the last episode. But so I went and got it on GOG because that seemed to be like the path of least resistance. Where you could like, I ended up repurchasing Fallout 4, but they had it on sale. It wasn't a big deal. And then you could download the mod and the downloader, and it would do all the work for you.
Mm-hmm.
And they provided this like guide of easy steps, and like when you're doing it on the Fallout 4 or the Fallout London page on GOG's website. They're like, people have been not following the steps. It's been causing crash issues. So I was like, I'm going to make sure I follow these steps exactly. I have no problem. So I did. I followed them exactly. I launched the game. I played through like the tutorial area, which looks awesome. Like it looks like a modern Fallout game. It does not look like Fallout 4. Like it looks like the production values are super, super high. So I was, you know, really excited. So you're like in this facility and, I don't know where you've come from. You're like in this tank and there's these scientists who've been like experimenting on you or they created you or whatever. It's not really, not really sure what's going on there, but, while they're like talking to you, there's an attack and the scientists are all killed and you get released from this thing. And the tutorial is, you know, you escaping from this facility. And at the end, you walk out onto this train platform, and you get onto this train, and the train starts taking you into London proper, except there was where my game just crashed to desktop. I was like, okay, it's Fallout. These things happen. Reload the game. My save file was like me standing right outside that train. Get on the train again, it starts moving. Crash to desktop again. So, okay, I start Googling for solutions. So like, download this mod, change these settings, whatever. I try a bunch of stuff. I try for maybe 45 minutes. It crashes every single time. It doesn't always necessarily crash right as the train starts moving. The train moves to a certain point, and then the game launches into like the title sequence.
Mm-hmm.
You see the title flash up, and then the game comes to a loading screen and immediately crashes. So I made it all the way through the tutorial, but I can't actually play the real game that is Fallout London.
Right, so you can't explore London yet.
No, I can't do anything until they've fixed whatever this crashing issue is. I think it really depends on your computer setup. Some of the more modern NVIDIA cards seem to be having more crash issues as opposed to less.
That could work out in my favor.
Yeah, it does not work out well in my favor, but, you know, there was a point at which I was thinking, well, I still do have my dual 980 machine, like, it's in the closet to pull that thing out, and but no. They say that they're working on a patch, so I may actually get to play Fallout 1. I left it installed. I'm like, I hope it's soon.
Yeah, but, yeah.
Very, very disappointing, very sad, because there's some very, like, there's some cool videos that people have posted, and, like, it looks fun. It looks like, you know, an interesting experience. One of the things I thought was funny, through most tutorial, you don't even have a weapon. You're just, like, walking up to, they're not roaches in this game. I forget what they are. But you're punching them with your fists, which I thought roaches. Was a very British. Yeah, a very British thing to do, like, just punch the bug.
Yeah, I think they've renamed all the they would be rad roaches, Jeff. I think they've renamed all the bugs and stuff.
Yeah, so like, it's all like British.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so yeah. Like, so instead of like the murlocs, which are like the crabs, they have a different name now, and Britishisms.
You need to pick up a flashlight, and it's like, go get the torch. Take the lift. Like, it's very.
That's neat.
Yeah. I hope to fix it so I can actually play it. That would be interesting.
Yeah, I want to play it. I did get the mod from GOG, but I did not buy it on there. Cause people are working on just like launchers to get it to work through Steam. In fact, somebody
even if they don't fix the people who actually made the mod don't fix it, like the modding community is going to take it over and fix it.
They'll figure it out.
Yeah.
But somebody actually just created a launcher for the Steam Deck. So I was like, maybe? Like, if I could just, like, hit a button and go, like, that could be good.
That would be nice, yeah.
But also, like, how well is it going to run on the Steam Deck? Like, Fallout 4 should run fine. It's a 10-year-old game, but
yeah,
this is a, you know, it's new. It's not professionally made, it's the my amateur, so
yeah.
Did you play anything else?
The only other thing, I started a new Witcher 3 game. I hadn't played since their Series X console update. Mm-hmm. Also, I saw the game, it's the complete edition version of the game was on sale during the Xbox summer sale for like super cheap.
Yeah.
Which meant that I could play through the game and get all the achievements again because it's a different achievement set. So I was like, yeah, I'll give that a shot. So I'm still in the tutorial area. I got a lot of Witcher 3 left to play, but
looks it's good still though.
Great. It looks so good. I don't remember the game looking, I mean, it probably didn't look this good before, but it's just, it's beautiful. I also forgot how different Witcher 3 plays from other action games. Like, the control scheme is completely different. Like, using the magic is different. It takes some remembering and some, like, retraining yourself.
Yeah.
And you can't just, like, hack and hit the button over and over again. That doesn't work. You have to be very tactical.
Well, there's tactics to, like, you have to use your silver sword on monsters and
Right, like that all plays into it. And there's like, what are the tonics or something that you...
Yeah, the Witcher. I think they call them.
I remember you had to like drink health potions before a fight. I was like, what?
So that was Witcher. That was Witcher 2. They changed it in Witcher 3 where you have to brew the potions ahead of time, but you could actually have them during combat.
But you do have to put you put it on your sword, like if you want to have like a poison effect or
oil.
Yeah, the oils. That's what it was. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which give you like a buff or a status effect to your enemy if you're utilizing it. That for better or worse, it seems like the Dark Souls combat model is what a lot of people have kind of adopted over the last decade.
Yeah.
This was before that, so it had like its own weird.
I find the combat to be very weird in the game. I've never delved deep into The Witcher because of that. I'm just like, I don't know.
I can see that. It's strange.
I can see, you know, I played all of Witcher 2 and I kind of dug it.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm just not a huge fan. But.
All right. Well, we're running late. So I'll just, one thing I started. Warhammer 40K Space Marine.
Oh yeah,
the original one. I think it was like an Xbox 360, PS3 game. It was on sale on Steam. I ended up picking it up there. That game's fun. I never played it originally, but I remember people like saying, "Oh, it's like Gears of War." It is not. Outside of the fact that you are controlling like a lumbering giant person. This game throws a ton of enemies at you. You're using your chainsaw sword to like hack them up. And I think like the Gears is more range based. Like if you're using your chainsaw, it's because somebody's gotten in close. That's not your primary weapon. And this, it seems like the chainsaw sword is like your primary weapon. Gunfire is not, necessarily used all the time. You might take some people out from range, but you're not using it to the same level. It's neat. I'm only through the first couple levels, so we'll see how I go through it. But it's a neat little action game, and I think the sequel is sometime in September, so that'll be interesting to see how that turns out. 'Cause this one was done by Relic, who were the people that I think they did with Company of Heroes. And they're not an action game studio, but they did a pretty good job here. And the new one is not by them. So Games Workshop licensed out Warhammer to everybody though. So neat little game though. Unfortunate that it was not on sale in the 360 closure sale. So I probably would have picked it up there because it would have been cheaper. But that's it for us for this week. No episode next week unless these guys decide to do it. They won't. So don't.
Where's the episode about Tim Walls?
Next week, we're going to all watch Borderlands and come back with our review and impressions.
We are certainly not.
I like my money. I'm keeping my money.
I mean, I have a list, so I could go at any point in time. But
I had access to a free screening 20 minutes walk from my house yesterday. I'm like, you know what? I don't think it's worth it. So I couldn't even see for free. So
it's like, even if they nailed that, it would feel like 2016.
Well, to be fair, that would be exactly Borderlands. And as much as I enjoy the games, their humor and stuff is extremely dated, even when they come out, because it's so much internet humor.
Yeah, like I did not like anything in 3. Like the story stuff.
I remember I was like, this is a fun game. Like I would play another. Like I don't know, I'm not against the series, but
the game is fun to play. But like the story, just you guys were saying, is just so. It's like, I hate to say it, it's cringy, super it's cringy and juvenile. Yeah. But I don't know. I have a list. Maybe I'll go see it. People are complaining that it does not respect the lore of Borderlands. And I was like,
I will be honest with you. I have no idea what that means.
And I was like, there's lore for Borderlands? Like, people
sure, there was a series of books written by J.R.R. Borderlands.
I mean, there is a story, right? I don't know. I don't
imagine. Yeah, but a story isn't necessarily lore.
It's Bible, man.
But honestly, my big concern, and it was from the trailers and from what I understood and read and had confirmed, it is like for me, what makes Borderlands is the unique craziness. Like it's like the stories, whatever. It's the characters. It's mostly the weapons.
It's like, yeah, it's the weapons.
He's like a walking gun.
Oh, it's weapons, not a movie. It's a video game. You know what I mean? That's my whole thing. It's like the appeal of Borderlands is it's a video game with goofy weapons.
Yes, and apparently it has no goofy weapons in it.
Oh yeah, one thing that
that's like a giant miss. Like they were like we're gonna double down on the characters in Borderlands, like.
And it's also a weird mishmash of characters because, like, two of the characters in it are supporting characters. I think we had this discussion already. Tiny Tina and Tennis are not, like, playable characters. They're supporting characters in the universe. Like, Tiny Tina eventually does have her own game and stuff.
Right.
But, yeah. I specifically asked, like, oh, do we have... do we have, like, anybody have a special ability? They're like, no. I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah, that's weird.
All right. Well, we will talk about Borderlands if anybody sees it in the next 2 weeks. Maybe if we don't see Borderlands, we can talk about the list that Earl had mentioned before we started recording of, video game movies and TV shows. We could maybe come up with our own ranking of that.
Oh boy.
We'll see. That'll be in a couple weeks though. So, what was that, Earl?
Oh, I was just going to say, I can't wait. I mean, I think if we base off of this, it's just going to be live action because I'm sure Jeff would delve where we're all going to put Mario. And it's going to be the polar opposite of where he would have put Mario.
I would put the live action one over that, yeah.
I mean, there are words that I said. Hurtful words sometimes, Jeffrey, but the words.
Yeah. Is there a definitive list out there we can use, Earl?
I mean, again, we can base it up. You mean of the things that exist?
Of, like, live-action video game movies? I'm sure there is. Wikipedia has everything.
Yeah, Wikipedia has a list of it. That's what I usually go through.
You want it to be specifically live-action, though?
Again, it's something we can discuss offline. Because, like, okay. The reason they narrowed it down is, like, you do get to a point where, like, if you don't have some restrictions, you are probably hitting over 100.
Okay.
Like, my rule of thumb is I wouldn't necessarily limit it to just live action. I would say theatrical, because then you do get rid of some of them. Like, the second Doom movie, I think Monster Hunter was mostly a streaming thing. I know it came out in theaters, but I don't think anybody remembers that. You skip over something like... Dynasty Warriors, because there's a lot of them where it's like, oh yeah, that was like Yakuza has a movie, but that, you know, that was like a Japanese only film. So
I guess if you want to burn one of those on your list, it doesn't ultimately matter. It's not going to make it, but you know,
right? Yeah.
But again,
I did see Monster Hunter in theaters. Just
I'm that person.
Did I bad decision?
You were the one.
You were the
If we ever did,
I'm wild and crazy. I went to see Monster Hunter.
I just do want to clarify that I did go and see that movie. Somebody did it.
If we did it, it would have to be a top five because I could not. Most video game like anything, I think is not good. So
here's Jeff's
list. I could probably think of five, but
yeah, I mean you've seen, Super Mario Brothers. You've seen the two Sonic movies, right? So one of the Sonic movies, Sonic movie.
Mortal Kombat.
I would hope
Tomb Raider. Come on,
Mortal Kombat.
These are all not good. I'm sorry.
You've seen Street Fighter with Jean-Claude Van Damme.
It's
good, but you've seen them. You could come up with a list.
Actually, I don't think I've seen Street Fighter.
Really?
Yeah, I don't think I've seen it.
I assume you've seen Detective Pikachu?
No.
Uncharted?
No.
Oh, it's just not like a Jeff thing.
No, it's not. Dude, why would I watch that?
The Angelina Jolie actually... Tomb Raider movies?
No.
Really?
Prince of Persia?
No.
What have you seen then?
I saw the newer Tomb Raider movie,
Tomb Raider.
Any of the Resident Evils?
The first Resident Evil.
Okay. Any of the Silent Hills? There's two.
The first Silent Hill, which I thought was pretty good, actually.
Sean Bean.
It's been so long.
Yeah, Sean Bean was in the first one.
Any of the Hitman movies?
I thought it was Naomi Watts, wasn't it? Am I crazy?
I mean, she might have been in it too, but Sean Bean was the guy in the first movie.
Anyways, the Silent Hill, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw the first one. I thought that was like a rare one where it's like, that was pretty good. Like, yeah. Anyways, go ahead.
Any of the Hitman movies?
Yeah.
No.
Max Payne with Mark Wahlberg.
No.
Werewolves Within?
No.
Oh, I figured it's horror. It's actually a decent movie. I think it was on Shudder.
Werewolves Within, was that the one that takes place in like a small town?
Yeah, and it stars the guy from Veep.
Yeah, I saw that one. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's like one of those like pandemic movies.
Well, I think we could probably spend an entire episode just asking Jeff if he's seen these movies.
Okay, one more. Have you seen any of the Final
Fantasy? No, stop.
Any of the what?
No more.
Final Fantasy ones. The Spirit was there.
Final Fantasy movies?
There's no way. Jeff has
been Advent Children.
Dude, that's like a straight to video. That's not a real thing, dude.
That's their famous box office bomb. That was one of the reasons Square ended up having to merge with Enix, because they spent so much money making that movie. So that's a huge historical note for video games. The rest of them, I will agree with you on, but The Spirit Within is famously, it's a massive.
Dude, the straight streaming, anything, even the Batman shit, it's like, I haven't seen 90% of that because, it doesn't feel real. It's just it was released somewhere. It needs to be a little more official.
All right. Well, we'll do that in a couple weeks. And that's when we'll be back. So catch a classic episode next week, and then another one the week after before we return. So, Jeff, say goodnight.
Good night.